Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The deteriorating situation in Laos, along with the continuing crisis in the Congo, we all know to be part of a communist conspiracy aimed at world conquest. Premier Khrushchev's most recent pronouncement to the Soviet peoples found him declaring over a nationwide radio hookup, "We are happy when we build communism, but that is not enough. We shall be happy when people of all countries stand under the banner of Marxism-Leninism and the communist banner flies over the whole planet." Well, today many are wondering whether Khrushchev's prediction concerning communism will come true. And friends, just as determined as the communists are to take over the world, it seems we who love the Lord Jesus Christ should be more determined to win lost men and women the world over to Jesus Christ. Well, as you know, in Cuba and the Congo, Laos and Indonesia, already hundreds of missionaries have been recalled by our government or forced to leave. In fact, in country after country being swallowed up by communism, there's a spiritual vacuum today, except for gospel broadcasting, which penetrates the Iron Curtain and the Bamboo Curtain. You know, many are wondering whether Khrushchev's boast concerning communism will ever come true. Will communism one day dominate the entire earth? Well, we hope not. But we would call your attention to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7, which reminds us of an end-time ruler who one day will make his appearance and of whom it is said, quote, "It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Now did you hear it, friends? Here is the prediction concerning a world emperor, an iron-fisted dictator who will rule the world. And hating the Christians, he shall oppress and oppose and persecute them. The Bible says it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Well, now in today's broadcast, we'd like to ask further, who are these saints who during the awful tribulation period undergo extreme hardship, misery, poverty, and death as described so vividly here in the book of the Revelation? For at least a dozen times, I believe, reference is made to saints as being on earth during the tribulation period. Now I can hear someone say, "I thought all the saints would be in heaven, for are not all believers to be raptured before the tribulation period?" Well, let's look into the Word of God together. And from the book of Revelation, we shall see at least four distinct groups of saints during the great tribulation. First of all, in chapter 5, I believe we have the raptured group. Those believers who heard the shout of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, who came forth from their graves, or whose bodies were suddenly changed, and these saints were ushered heavenward into the presence of our wonderful Lord. We see them around the throne of God, and we hear them singing a new song, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth." Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be in that blood-washed throng, don't you? Now here are redeemed saints, a vast multitude of overcomers, those whose lives were pure and holy at the coming of Jesus, those who made preparation and were ready for the rapture. You see, the word saint, friends, comes from a Greek word meaning holy or sanctified. Now, if you look in your dictionary, you'll find Webster's primary definition of a saint, one regenerated and sanctified, a holy or godly person. Now, remember, when Jesus comes, he's coming for his saints, those who are saved, those whose lives are holy. For the Bible says concerning those who are looking for the rapture, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now today, if you're living in known sin, following the lusts of the flesh, given over to a carnal appetite, walking in the ways of the world, you have every right to question this hope. You have every right to ask yourself, "Am I ready for the rapture?" The Scripture says every man who has this hope makes preparation by living a pure and a holy life. Some time ago, a news item told of a wedding wherein the bride came down the aisle garbed in her beautiful wedding attire, but she'd forgotten to take off her galoshes, her rubber footwear. And throughout the audience, there were heard snickers, giggles, and laughs. Well, the true church, my friends, is the bride of Christ. And if we insist on weddings where the bride is decked out in royal splendor in the most dazzling attire of white, so our Lord insists that those who await his appearing be found having the pure robes of salvation, attired in the garb of holiness. Now notice the second group of saints seen during the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 6, we read of those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. No doubt the rapture will be such a remarkable event that many who were unbelievers and skeptics and scoffers will be convinced of the truth of the Bible. And although they may have to suffer and many will be tortured and slain as martyrs, there will be some who choose to accept the Bible and Jesus Christ rather than to identify themselves with Antichrist. Thus we see here a group during the tribulation who are killed for the word of God and for the testimony which they hold, the testimony of faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now notice further concerning these. We read, "And white robes were given unto every one of them." Now in Scripture, a robe is symbolic of righteousness. You see, we have no righteousness of our own. As the Bible declares, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Therefore, if ever we are to be saved, we must of necessity have the robes of righteousness which are given to us through Jesus Christ. We are led to believe, then, that this group of saints in Revelation who are given white robes are those who will be saved during the tribulation period, many of whom die for their faith in the Word of God and their testimony for Christ. Now the third group of saints is pictured for us in Revelation chapter 7. Here is clearly described for us 144,000 Israelites who during the tribulation, in the midst of persecution, are miraculously spared death. These Jews realize that Jesus Christ is their true Messiah, and they accept him and are gloriously saved. Well, not only are these saved, but they are also sealed by God in their foreheads. The promise of Joel, partially fulfilled at Pentecost, will be consummated in the outpouring of God's Spirit in a miraculous fashion during the tribulation upon these 144,000 Israelites. Then finally, we would note the fourth group of saints depicted for us during the tribulation period as seen in chapter 7. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, robed in white robes. Now notice, from every indication it would appear that these white-robed saints should be in heaven. They should have been raptured. But at the appearing of Jesus, it is apparent they were not ready, for they were left behind, like the five foolish virgins. In consternation, the question is raised, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? The reply comes back, these are they which came out of tribulation, the great one, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. But now from all appearances, this great innumerable multitude represents those who were expecting Christ's return. They anticipated the rapture, but they did not make preparation for it. So long as they had a robe, they weren't concerned about keeping their robes clean and pure. And oh, how many today profess faith in Christ. They perhaps know of an experience they may have had or a decision they may have made, but their lives have never been changed. Their conduct remains the same. The same lusts and habits are enjoyed. They excuse their sinning as human weakness. They live careless and indifferent lives, unconcerned about their spiritual state. In fact, they love the worldly amusements. They watch the shows on television with delight. They care little about keeping the Lord's Day holy, but they call themselves Christians. Beloved, the result of such lukewarmness, worldliness, disobedience, I'm afraid, will find many whose robes are spotted, are defiled, and they are left behind at the coming of Jesus. To the Laodiceans, whom our Lord says he will spew out of his mouth, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And so here's a great multitude which no man could number. who during the period of the great tribulation forsake their sin and come clean for God. For we are told they wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. The songwriter asks, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, it pays to live a holy life, friend. Notice, whereas the raptured group of saints is in heaven reigning as kings and priests, these tribulation saints are given the role of servant. They are servants of God who serve him day and night in his temple. And which would you sooner be today, a king and a priest, or a servant? No wonder Paul says, I press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now in Luke chapter 12, Jesus refers to that servant who said, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he begins to live foolishly and carelessly. Says Jesus, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him off, cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Ah, beloved, in what group will you be with when Jesus comes? Do you know Christ? Are you living for him today? Indeed, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.